Yeah, so I'm a professor of economics and management science at Chapman University, and I've also been visiting at the Initiative for Digital Entertainment Analytics at Carnegie Mellon. If you don't recognize that, then the reason you would recognize it is that the directors of that, Mike Smith and Rahul Talang, also wrote the book that you all have a copy of here today. So they've been doing a lot of work on essentially just data-driven work, trying to make sense of issues in the entertainment industries, one part of which, of course, is copyright issues and copyright enforcement. So I guess today I have 15 minutes, so I really thought I'd just try to hit three key takeaways that I want to raise awareness of. And these kind of come from, as I go out and give talks like this in rooms of different people, one of the things that I think I don't hear enough, or I say, and people don't seem to be surprised by it when I say it. So three takeaways today. First, there's actually really good empirical, peer-reviewed, objective studies out there on what sorts of carrots and sticks or firm strategies and government policies are effective and how effective they are at converting pirates into paying consumers. Some things work, some things don't, and it turns out there's really good evidence out there in peer-reviewed, objective journals. Right? The second is no one strategy or policy seems to be a panacea, so there doesn't seem to be anything that just solves the problem by itself, at least anything that's been studied so far in the journals that I read. And three is that strategies and policies, I'd like to kind of make the point that they should be evaluated more based on sort of real, honest evaluation of their social benefits and cost rather than simply philosophical grounds, which usually lead to statements like, there's just no way we should ever do that. There's no way that should ever happen. It'll break the internet, things like that, right? So I think it has a lot more to do with real data-driven analyses of costs and benefits. And I'll try to talk about each of these points a little. The first one's kind of my favorite because this is the work that I do, that I and my colleagues do. I'm surprised when I walk in, I was at a conference, I think, 2 months ago in Washington, D.C., and it was mostly a room of lawyers. And when I started talking about these studies, the number of people I had afterward emailing me saying, hey, can I have a copy of that study? Or where do I find that study? Or do you do witness work? You know, was really surprising to me. And what I realized was we're not doing a good enough job as academics getting it. We think we are, but it turns out we're not doing a good enough job getting it out there that these studies exist, that it doesn't make sense to say that doesn't work because there's a study that says it does, or the opposite in some cases. All right. Just to give you some examples, and I don't even want to really blow through these too much. This is only a smattering of the amount of work that's being done because it's not just being done at Carnegie Mellon. There's other researchers who have been doing it at other universities, and actually I'd like to think that at Carnegie Mellon we've done so much of it and gotten it published that we've inspired a new generation of researchers that started doing this stuff. But just to give you an example of a couple, we do know in terms of carrots, so strategies to try to make legal content more attractive, we do know that making content available digitally on iTunes does reduce piracy. We know this because we saw in a study that the removal of NBC content due to a pricing dispute actually caused a significant increase in piracy of that content relative to other people's content. We also know that adding content onto Hulu caused about a 20 to 25% decrease in piracy of that content, right? And we have studies showing this stuff. We know that shortening release windows can reduce piracy and increase sales. So we have empirical econometric studies looking at the causal effect of the international release window or the time between the first piracy release and then the first DVD release in a country and asking whether that causes changes in total piracy and whether it causes changes in DVD sales. And the answer is yes on both. And finally, we actually, if we think about not necessarily things that media firms can do or content owners can do, but the things that other firms can do, like search providers, we have laboratory experiments showing that when you ask people to acquire content and you give them the ability to do it legally or illegally, and you give them fiscal incentives in the way that they do it, it turns out that if you change the priority of the search links when they use a search engine, that it actually causes meaningful changes in their behavior. If you prioritize legal links, you can see that they increase their legal consumption compared to a control group. And if you prioritize illegal links, you can see that they really prioritize illegal consumption compared to a control group. So these things, all of these studies exist out there. They're in peer-reviewed journals sitting out there on the internet waiting to be used. Just to get, I won't even go into this far, but I kind of put some graphs. I peppered all of this with graphs and slides to show you there are real models behind all of these studies. If we talk about sticks, strategies to make illegal content less attractive, we also know that sometimes these work and sometimes they don't. And we know a little bit about what makes them tend to be effective or not so effective. Just to give you an example of a few of the ones that are out there, we have a study showing that the Hadopi law in France, the three strikes policy in France, Hadopi, caused a 20 to 25% increase in digital music sales, and that actually seems to have lasted at least for 2 years. We have a study, there's a study by other authors, independent authors of us, who studied the iPred law in Sweden and saw that that actually caused a 35% increase in music sales. But when it became clear that that law wasn't being enforced, that sales levels returned to their normal levels before the law was passed. Also, supply side policies, so policies that target sort of the protocols or the websites that support file sharing. We know that the shutdown of Mega Upload caused a 6 to 8% increase in digital movie revenues. There's a strong study that makes that case. We know that the UK ISP blocking of the Pirate Bay, so when six of the major ISPs in the UK were ordered to block access to the Pirate Bay, we know that it caused a huge decrease in visits to the Pirate Bay, almost 100%. But we also know that it actually just caused a major increase in piracy at other sites and that there was no uptake of legal options as a result of this. But a year later, when 19 major remaining piracy sites were blocked all simultaneously, then we see some movement to other piracy sites, but a strong uptake in the legal options, like usage of Netflix and paid legal streaming sites. And finally, there's studies out there, I didn't have time to list them, but there's studies out there on third-party actions, so hiring third-party firms to enforce notice and takedown for ebooks or certain watermarking technologies that can actually have a beneficial impact on sales. And all of this stuff, there's data and graphs and models behind these studies. So I hope that they start to see more use. I'll try to move a little faster through the other 2 points that I wanted to make. This was really kind of, and I would say this was kind of my favorite of the 3 points. For the second point, no one strategy or policy is really the end-all, be-all solution. I make this point because none of the studies out there really find something like a 50% increase in sales or a 50% reduction in piracy from any one of these strategies or policies or anything like that. I would say the biggest reduction in piracy that we see that actually lasts is about 25% from adding content to, so basically adding content to Hulu and giving it away for free along with some advertisements caused that 25% decrease. A lot of other firm strategies only cause something like a 10 to 12% decrease in piracy. As well, the increases in sales, they never get higher than 25%, right? So no one strategy seems to necessarily solve the issue here. And I make this point probably because when people talk about something like, I don't know, like website blocking or Hadoopi, they say, no, right? The firms just have to make the content more attractive. As soon as they do that, that's the solution to this. But we have studies showing exactly what happens when they make the content significantly more attractive. Even when they give it away for free on Hulu, piracy only goes down by 25%. And that was the largest decrease that we saw in any of these studies. So it seems likely that we require a number of carrots and sticks and that anti-piracy actions need to adapt over time. I didn't mention it, but some of these studies seem to show that over time that the effects of these policies may start to wear down and that they only continue when there's additional effort, so like website blocking, right? It's the sort of after 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, sometimes it becomes important to block additional sites as people finally find their way to other favorite piracy sites. And finally, for the third point, strategies and policies should be evaluated on cost versus benefits, not purely philosophical grounds. So some of you may agree or disagree with some of the points up there. These aren't meant to be like, you know, hey, I'm sure that these points are true. But what they are meant to be is this idea that we should be balancing. If we think about something like graduated response, we should be thinking about, look, there's a difficult political climate for it. In France, clearly things changed after a while, right? There are potential losses from the penalties. I won't go too deeply into that, but there are arguments about losses due to the penalties and when people if people pay these penalties, or if we ever got to the point where people did lose access to the internet, we could talk about what those costs would look like. Of course, it needs to be informed by the fact that just about nobody really lost access to internet, and yet we still saw a positive impact from the Hadoopi policy. And on the other side, in terms of the pros, we saw the largest sustained increase in sales of any study that we've done from that policy. And as well, there's less risk of sort of the whack-a-mole game. It's not like piracy website blocking. When you have this policy, you know, about consumers, there's less of a sort of, it's not like they can just gravitate to another site that easily. Or if we were to talk about something like ISP website blocking, you might say the pros, less drastic than shutdowns like Mega Upload. And it's kind of clear in the UK it has not, quote-unquote, broken the internet. It's not really clear if it's really changed that much about the internet, to be honest with you. But if you want to think about costs, people say that there might be higher ISP costs as the result of this. Well, let's measure that. Let's see if that's true. I haven't seen evidence of it yet, but I'd love to do, you know, I'd love to do a study seeing whether there actually are causal increases in ISP costs as a result of all this website blocking that's happening in the UK. People talk about requires continuous blocking. Some of the research does seem to suggest that, yeah, after a while, you do have to find the new sites that are out there and start blocking them. You could consider that a con if you want. And smaller gains in legal. So this is not a big gain in legal consumption as something like a demand-side policy like Hadoopy. My point here is, even whether or not you agree with these points, is these are the types of arguments that should be being made rather than simply, oh no, we can never do that, or yeah, that's the solution and that's going to take care of it. So if I can summarize, we should evaluate copyright enforcement efforts for the net social benefit of each one of these, each policy or strategy that we consider. This requires measurement and solid methodology, right? You can't just look at the data. You actually have to find ways to tease out causal impacts from correlations of the data so that when the people who don't like your argument say correlation is not causation, you can say, that's exactly what I tried to account for. And the third point is, fortunately, there's people who really want to do this. And if you're interested, come talk to us at the Idea Center at Carnegie Mellon or for me down at Chapman. I'd love to talk with you about anything you're looking to evaluate. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brett. And if you'll take a seat and the other panelists will join the stage, it's a great pleasure to introduce our moderator. He's the chairman emeritus of CDSA. He also has a little job at Adobe. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Richard Atkinson.